Oh, married, but I'm gonna need that.
You
want to
do it now?
No, I didn't.
Precious blood over my life. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And when he did, this next song talks about what he did for. swear if I make it through it, it'll be a wonderful
experience. Come on. Man, hold her in touch.
Shot and John told somebody, hold his mule. Stacy's going to tell Jimmy one day, hold my guitar.
Well, since we're on the subject of being made free, set free.
I like this one already.
Yes, Lord.
G, C, and D.
G, C, and D.
Yeah, that's right.
Wanna tell you about Okay, so What we're going to do today,
yes, we do.
We're going to start our brand new format. This is going to be super cool. What we're going to do is we're going to teach the kids' lesson first. And all you adults can act like you already know all this.
Right.
We're going to teach kids' lesson first. And then when the kids' lesson is done, we're going to take a break a minute, because if you're over the age of 45, you're going to have to go use the bathroom, probably.
Yes, yes, amen.
And then we're going to come back, and then the kids are going to break off with Kitty and over there, and they've got a craft to do for their lesson. I know Moana does not like to do crafts, but...
I heard the smell.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, you say she don't like to do it, but she gets started, and she's on it now. But first now, there's a song that goes in line with the lesson the kid's going to teach today. It's going to rain, it's going to rain, you better get ready, bear this in mind, God gave Noah the rainbow sign. Who? Now. Go ahead, boss lady. It is.
Do you guys know the story? We haven't watched it.
We watched it.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Well, back in Noah's day, God saw that the whole world was corrupt.
Right.
There was evil everywhere. They corrupted the earth. It was that bad. Everything was horrible. But God found righteousness in Noah. And God thought, I'm going to destroy this whole earth. I'm going to destroy all these people. I'm going to destroy everything on the earth because it's nothing but evil. It's nothing but corruption.
Mm.
It's violence everywhere. And it repents me in my heart that I even made man. I'm sorry that I even
Jesus
made
help us.
Man.
Right?
But then God said, wait a minute. There's Noah. There's a man that I found righteousness in. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to Noah. And God went to Noah. And he said, Noah, I'm going to destroy everything. I'm going to destroy all mankind. I'm going to destroy every animal, everything that has a breath of life on the earth. I'm going to take it all out. And I'm going to cause rain to come down. And I'm going to cause rain to come up from the ground, water to come up from the ground. Mm-hmm. And he said, Noah, I found righteousness in you. And I want you to build an ark. He told him exactly how big he wanted it, how long, how tall, how wide, how thick. He told him everything.
Yeah.
He told him to put a window in the top of it and a door in the side.
Yeah.
3 stories high. And he said, and I want you to take every animal, every cattle, every beast, every creeping thing, that's rats. Mice. You know, when I was reading this, he kept saying every creeping thing, everything that creepeth.
Yeah.
I think that the one that wrote it was creeped out by the creeping thing. I don't know why I am. But they took everything. Everything went on the ark. I'm talking spiders.
Cockroaches.
I'm talking snakes. Cockroaches. Yuck.
Yeah.
But there was butterflies.
Yeah.
There was birds. All the birds from under heaven went in there. There were giraffes and elephants and lions and tigers and bears. Oh, wow.
Amen.
But there was all of this. There was cows and pigs and turkeys, dogs and cats. There was all kinds of, there was every animal that you could possibly think of. Every creeping thing. Every fowl of the air, every beast. And God told him, I want you to take them on the boat. And I'm going to cause it to rain. Because there's nothing but corruption. And I want you and your wife and your 3 sons and your 3 sons' wives all to get on the ark. Because I'm going to cause it to rain. And Noah told his wife, he told his sons, he told his daughter-in-laws, this is what God said to do. He's going to destroy the whole earth. He's going to destroy every living thing on the planet, on dry ground. He's going to take it all. He's going to wipe it all out. But he's going to save us. He told us to build an ark. So we got to get busy.
Yeah.
So Noah, he got busy.
Yes.
He got busy building the ark. And he had his sons working there with him, side by side. And his wife and his daughter-in-laws, they probably prepared the meals. And they probably helped bring some wood. They probably helped cut some stuff down. I don't know how they did it, but they did it.
Yeah.
And people walk by and they're like, what are you doing?
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I'm building an ark. It's going to rain. What are you talking about? It's going to rain.
What's rain?
It has never.
Yeah.
What's rain? It's never rained ever. And it's going to rain. Right. Noah, you've lost it.
Right.
Yeah.
Then Noah said, God said. And they're like, whatever. Whatever. And then laughed at him. And they would mock him. And they would make fun of him. But Noah just kept on building. Just kept on building. And God told Noah what he had to do. And then the day came. That the ark was done. And God said, I want you to take every animal, 2 by 2, onto the ark. Seven of clean, 2 of the unclean. And all the fowls of the air.
Right.
Under heaven, I want you to bring them by sevens. That was a lot of animals.
Yes.
Now, last week, Pastor preached on a rotten, stinky boat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you imagine how much poop an an elephant can lay.
Oh, help me, Jesus.
Now, where are they going to put all that?
There. One window.
There's one window on it. It's not that all that big.
Oh, man.
Maybe it's supernatural, maybe.
Huh? They were in a cage. They were in rooms.
Yeah, they had two of them.
And God said, okay, it's time. I want you and your wife and your sons and your sons' wives, I want you all to get in the boat. And all the animals will come. And they all came, two by two, into the ark. And then God shut them in.
Yes, he did.
And it started to rain that very same day.
Yes, he did.
Scary.
And all of a sudden, the waters from the deep broke up the ground. And water started to come up. And the rain was falling down. And the water started getting higher and higher. And the boat was starting to rock. Uh-huh. And it's starting to move. And the people are starting to scream. And they're running. I would. Right. I'd be running at the door. Right. Hey!
Yeah.
Right.
You can't come in.
Can't come in.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were trying to jump on the boat, trying to hold on to the boat, cling to the boat, so that they wouldn't drown. And they started to run over the highest hills. And the water started to lift the boat. And before you know it, it went above the hills. And they started to run, and they went to the tops of the mountains. And the boat started to go. And it went above the mountains. It went above every living thing, every green herb, every tree, every mountain, every rock, every hill. Everything was covered.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the Bible says that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights.
Right.
40 days. We've had a couple of days of rain, and I'm already tired of it.
Right, man.
You know, they were on this boat, inside this boat, with all these animals, and he moved everywhere, probably get sick, you know, and they had to take care of them.
Right.
God told them to gather all the food for them and for all the animals, for everything that's on the boat. So they worked continually, day and night, continually, on the boat. For 40 days and nights on this boat. And then after 40 days and nights, after it started to decrease, the water started to go down. And Noah took a raven and he let it go. And it went back and forth, until the waters were all off the earth. And he also sent out a dove. And when he sent out this dove, the dove came back because she couldn't find a place to put her feet.
Right.
There was still water on the ground. So he brought her in, and they say, stayed 7 more days. 7 days later, he sends her out again. And she comes back, and she's got an olive branch in her mouth that she had plucked off the tree. And Noah brought her in, and he kept her for another 7 days. And after that, he sent her out again, and she didn't come back.
Right.
And Noah waited another 7 days. Huh. Seven is a pretty good number, I think.
Right.
So he waited another 7 days. And after 7 days, he opened the door. The door went down, and him and his wife, his sons, and his sons' wives, they all walked off the boat. And they were on top of Mount Ararat. And the sea as far as the eye could see.
Yeah.
And the ground was dry. And all the animals start to come off. And God tells Noah, he says, Noah, I'm never going to do this again.
No.
I am never, ever, ever going to flood the earth ever again. I'm never going to kill mankind with the water ever again. Now, when God told Noah, I found righteousness in you, he didn't say he found righteousness in his wife, in his sons, or in his sons' wives. But because God found righteousness in Noah, God saved all of them. They all got to get on the boat.
Yeah.
They all lived.
Yeah.
So he told me, he says, I want you to go out. I want you and all the animals to go out. I want them to multiply. I want them to replenish the earth.
Yeah.
And I want your sons and your sons' wives, and you and your wife, I want you to replenish the earth. He said, but like I said, I'm never, ever, ever going to do this again. I'm never going to destroy the whole earth and all mankind and all beasts of the field, everything that has run life. I'm never going to do it again. So to prove to you that I won't ever do this again, and so that I'll remember, I'm going to put a bow in the sky. Who knows what bow is?
A rainbow.
A rainbow, right. And the rainbow's got all these beautiful colors.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And after it rains, what do we see? What do we still see today? A rainbow.
That's right.
So God's kept his promise.
Yes.
That he's not going to kill all mankind.
Yes.
With the flood of waters. But he did not say he wouldn't destroy mankind.
Right.
That's right.
Because he is.
Yeah.
What was going on in Noah's time that caused God to decide that he was going to destroy all mankind, uh-huh. all the animals, uh-huh. all the trees, everything that was on dry land? What was going on, Olive?
Like,
yeah? What can you think of that would be something that somebody could do that would cause God to want to do that? No? Can you? They what? Yeah? Yeah? Murder? Mm-hmm. Anything else? Moms? Dads? Aunts? Uncles? Exactly. Back then, there was men sleeping with men. There was women sleeping with women. Yes. I'm sure they were thinking that they were a cat or a dog.
Right.
Because in the Ecclesiastes 1:9,
go ahead.
It says there's no new thing under the sun.
Come on.
What happened back then is going to happen. It's happening now.
Right,
and
right.
It's going to happen.
Right. Yes.
There might be a few things left, but the world is so bad, so corrupt today,
mm-hmm.
that I believe that it's not going to be long before God comes.
Mm-hmm. Not long at all.
There's murders. There's aborting babies like galore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no regard. They don't even think about them. They did the deed, but they don't want to pay the price.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's parents killing their own children, sacrifices right. going on. They put up this statue. I can't remember where it was, but they put up this statue with a goat head,
uh-huh.
and they made it, and they had a set date where they gathered around and they worshiped the devil.
Here in America.
Mm-hmm. Out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
Before they used to hide.
Right.
Before they used to hide in a room
right.
or somewhere else, and they would sacrifice animals. They sacrificed children.
Yeah.
They sacrificed wives. They sacrificed mm-hmm. virgins.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
There's school shootings going on. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they taught their kids back then because it says there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
And there had to be somebody come in there and just wipe them all out. Just like it is today. And you hear about it more and more and more
right.
all the time.
Yep, that's right.
They've taken the Bible out of the school. They're teaching the kids in school that they can, if the girls want to be a boy, they can be a boy.
Wow.
If the boys want to be a girl, they can be a girl. And if wow. mommy and daddy don't like it, they're going to take you away from mommy and daddy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All you got to do is tell us and we'll take care of it for you.
Yep.
Oh, if you want to be a furry, if you want to be a kitty cat,
no.
you can be a kitty cat. And if mom and dad don't like it, Well, we'll take you away from mom and dad.
Perverted rainbow, too.
Yes, that's where I'm going.
Oh. Thank you for the reminder.
Yes. They're burning churches to the ground.
Right.
Persecuting Christians left and right. Uh-huh. It may not be here yet, but I'm telling you now, it is
coming. It's coming.
Yep, it sure is.
And as I said, the perversion with the boys being girls and the girls being boys and this LGBTQI, whatever it is that they're saying it is. I started looking up all the definitions as they said they were saying it represents, and it's garbage.
Yep.
They're saying that the rainbow, that represents them.
Nope.
It represents gay pride. That's the devil trying to get you to believe that it's okay. They're saying God has no problem with it. God loves us. God does love them.
Right.
He loves their soul. But he does not love what they're doing. And
that's
if
right.
they don't
that's
care,
right.
they aren't going to make it.
That's exactly
they're going to be
right.
lost. When their time is done, they're going to be lost.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know if we're going to be here when God comes back.
Right.
And destroys the whole earth.
Yeah. Mm.
We might be here.
Mm.
And whether we're here or not, we got to be ready to go.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Just like Noah.
Right.
God prepared.
Right.
God told him, build an ark. Get the animals. Get them prepared.
Right.
Get ready. I'm going to cause it to rain, and I'm going to destroy all mankind, all the animals. But God made a way.
Right.
Because
yes,
he found Noah righteous before him.
Woo.
He was a perfect man before God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mommy and Daddy might be able to carry you for a while.
Right.
But they're not going to be able to carry you your whole life.
Yes.
Right.
You have to have a relationship with God yourself.
Right.
You have to pray to God yourself. You have to talk to God yourself.
That's right.
I know you girls have been baptized in Jesus' name, and I thank God for that. But you both need the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Rue needs the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that hasn't got it, they need to start asking
right.
God right now,
right.
God, fill
right.
me. I need
yes.
to be ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? They're out there and they're trying to make you believe that all this is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, because the Bible said that all that stuff that's going on is evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's corruption.
Right.
And God hates it.
He does.
And he said, even if you're not doing it, but you enjoy that they're doing it, you're going straight to hell, just like they are.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
So you better make it up in your mind that you're going to give your heart and your life to Jesus.
That's right.
And you're going to get the Holy Ghost, and you're going to live the way Jesus said
that's
to live.
Right.
Now, God told Noah, you go out and multiply the earth. Replenish it. Multiply and replenish the earth. But do it the way I told you to do it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Don't
yeah.
do it the way they did it.
Right.
Do it the way I told you to
right.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't long after they were on the dry ground and they were out there, that one of the sons messed up bad.
Uh-huh.
But one thing about it today, if we mess up, we can go to God and we can ask him to forgive us.
Amen.
If we really
right.
mean it in our heart that we are sorry and we ask God to forgive us, if we've been baptized in Jesus' name, those sins are under the blood and they're in us. The sea of forgetfulness, God will not remember it from there on unless you bring it up before him.
Thank God.
So,
amen.
When you ask for forgiveness, let it go. Because God did.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. What does rainbow mean? Who put it in the sky?
Acts chapter 10. First, I do want to make mention of the fact that, of course, we all know that the only reason that we can do what we're doing right now, that we can gather in a park like this when we want to, how we want to, with our Bibles out,
Amen.
And singing praises to God is because men and women for generations have given their lives for just this exact freedom.
Thank you, Jesus.
So the more I think about what we're doing this summer, the more I feel like it really is an obligation. That by doing this and having church in the park during the summer like this, that we are taking advantage of the ultimate sacrifice that they have made for us to have these freedoms.
Yeah.
And if we don't exercise our freedoms, we'll lose them.
Absolutely.
So I see a lot more in what we're doing than what I thought at the first.
Yeah.
So I want to give honor, of course, to those people that have done such a thing and the men and women all over the world right now.
Because when some of them
that are maintaining our freedoms for us.
Yes.
And these soldiers, some people get caught up in the corrupt politics behind the wars and things of that nature. These soldiers don't know nothing about that.
Right.
When they died, they didn't say, well, the whole thing's corrupt, so, you know, I'm not going to die. They died anyway.
Yeah.
And when they signed up and volunteered to get sent to any place in the whole world, they did that because they had a sense of honor.
Right.
And they felt it was their purpose in this life to protect and keep freedom. So it doesn't take away from the sacrifice. If that was true, then what man has done with Christianity would take away from the sacrifice Jesus made.
Right.
Amen.
Come on now.
But it doesn't, because the sacrifice was pure.
Right.
So I thank God for these freedoms. And what I want to talk to you about today is a memorial. I want to talk to you today about a memorial.
Yeah.
Acts chapter number 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. No, that word centurion comes from the root word century, which means 100. So this guy was in charge of 100 soldiers.
Right.
That type of position and title comes with a great amount of authority. There was another centurion one day, and I believe me and Don were talking about this over the last couple of days. There was another man who was a centurion that came to Jesus because he had somebody in his house that needed a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, I'll come to your house. And the centurion said, you don't even have to go there. I'm a man under authority. I love the wording there. He didn't say, I'm a man who has authority. He said, I'm a man under authority. But see, when you're under authority, what that means is you've got authority behind you. You've got strength behind you. You've got power behind you. So when you're under authority and have that power behind you, that means when you exercise the authority that you have, the power behind you comes in front of you. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you today? When a centurion speaks, if he was by himself, anybody could respond any way they want to. But when a centurion spoke in these days, when people saw the centurion, they saw the entire Roman army behind him. And they knew if they did not listen to him, the army was coming. So they could either listen to the one man and understand he has authority behind him, that he's under that authority, and that anytime he wanted, he could speak, and that power that he represented, let's get a Bible right here, that power that he represented would come and do something.
Right.
We are under authority.
Say that again.
This is why it's important to be in submission. People get confused about that. It's really simple. The word sub, that root word means, sub means under. Right? Submarine, under water. So if I'm in submission, all that doesn't mean I'm a punk. Doesn't mean I do what anybody says without thinking. What it does mean is that my mission is under God's mission. My mission is second to God's mission. That's what real submission is.
That's right.
That makes sense?
Right?
Yes. I'm in submission to what? God first. Well, then if I'm in submission to God and His mission for me is more important to me than my mission, right?
Right.
Then that means my garden doesn't keep me from church. My hobby doesn't keep me from church,
right?
Because those things, those are my missions. They're what I like to do. If they kept me from the house of God, if they kept me from Bible study, if they kept me from gathering with God's people, that would mean my mission is first, and I'm not in submission to God at all.
Right.
Amen.
But when God is first in my life, I'm in submission.
Yes.
So what that means then is, if I'm in submission, I'm really under authority. That means there's power that backs me up. I don't look much when you look at me. I don't sound like much when you hear me. You'll never see anything exceptional about me. But if I'm in submission to God, when I show up and I represent God, there is power behind me. If I get out from underneath that submission, that power is not behind me, and it will not show up in front. I love this. This is really good. It will not show up in front of me when I need it to be manifested. It will not show up in a hospital room when I need it to be manifested. It will not show up on a hand that's swollen when I need it to be manifested, because I'm not under submission myself. But if I make all my personal missions secondary to God's mission, when I show up somewhere and represent God, God, who is behind me, will step in front of me and do what needs doing. That's good stuff right there.
It is, right. Absolutely.
That's pretty good. The centurion over 100. He was a devout man. That word devout, you know what it really boils down to? It doesn't mean holy or religious as much as it means consistent.
Yes, yes.
When you're devout, that means you're consistent. That means, you know, when it's Sunday, if we're having church on Sunday, the Wellses are going to be there. Two sets of Rapiers are going to be there. The Russells are going to be there. And you know that if, like today, you look around and there's no Russell here, because we know they are consistent, they are devout, then we know there's something going on at the Russell house. Yeah. Right?
Right?
And the reason we know that is because they are consistent. They are devout.
Yes. Right.
So this Cornelius, now, one thing you got to understand about this, he had no business being devout. Everything he was consistent in was in a religion that he was illegal for him to be in.
That's right.
He was serving a God whose people didn't want anything to do with him.
Right.
Who considered him to be vile, nasty, and unclean. So much so that they would never come in his house. And one day when one does come in his house, it's only because God gave him a vision and told him, you better go.
Yeah.
But he never would have willingly went into his house. So here's a man who is not allowed to be in this religion and serve his God, and said, I don't care what anybody don't want me doing. I know this God is real, and I'm going to serve him.
Amen.
Good grief. Right. That's kind of like when you know this Jesus name, one God, tongue talking, faith is real, only nobody wants you in it.
Yes, sir.
And, okay, I've ever behaved. But you make up your mind, I don't care what anybody wants. I don't care what anybody's got to say about me. Can you imagine when they talk about him?
Yeah, right.
Well, that dude's stupid doing all that. And we know he ain't even in it. He can't be in it. He's a heathen. He's a pagan. He's a Gentile. God don't want him. We don't want him. You just stay over there doing your dumb stuff and don't count with God anyway. Better watch who you discount.
Yes.
Because the whole time they were all saying that about this man, didn't want to fellowship this man. And I'm sure there's plenty of people saying, well, I wonder why he's really up to. That's the part that kills me.
Right.
It's been 30 years for me, and there's some moron still saying, I just wait, he won't last.
Right.
Yeah. It's a long time.
Like, dude, you started saying that in 1992. You do realize it's 2023, and I'm still here.
Yeah. Amen. 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 That's right. That's right.
My wife gets upset when I use this word in church, but there are such things as morons. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
They just are. Okay? Really, they're more off. More off than they're on, right?
More off than on.
So these people right here discounted this dude. And truth be told, technically, Jimmy, if you look in the Bible, in the day that he lived in, they were right about it. He's got no business doing this. He ain't in their church. He ain't got their preacher. He ain't in their assembly. He's not in their organization. But something in Cornelius said, I've seen something that's real about this.
Yes.
So I'm going to do what I can do. Maybe I can't, they won't let me come to their church, but I can pray to the God they're going to church to worship. I can do that in my house, even if these people won't let me.
Amen. That's right.
So this man was consistent. He was a consistent man and one that feared God. What does that mean? That didn't mean he ran around terrified of God all the time. But what that did mean is that there's some things in this man's life that he didn't do that everybody else did. And everybody else is like, dude, how come you don't do that? And he's like, because I serve God and I don't think God likes that, so I'm not doing it. He feared God.
Right.
There needs to be a fresh revival of the fear of God in the Jesus name people.
Amen.
If there was, we wouldn't. Okay. If there was, there wouldn't be the murmuring that there is.
That's
there
right.
wouldn't be the talking about people that are different, that don't fit the cookie cutter that you want in your church, right? There wouldn't be none of that stuff. I'm sorry, but Hebrews chapter 11 is broken into two parts. The first half of that chapter is filled with all the heroes of the faith that are cool. The Davids, right? The mother of Moses. And it's filled with all these people you look at like, I want them in my church, boy. It'd be great if they came here and preach revival. Well, the last half is filled with homeless people who walked around talking to themselves and lived in caves. And when you get to the end of that chapter, the writer of that book says that these are the people the world was not worthy of.
The world.
He didn't say the world wasn't worthy of the Davids. The world wasn't worthy of Moses' mama. It got to the ones that we look at like, woohoo, okay, that dude's from Misfit Island. Huh? And it looked at those guys and said, they're the ones that the world doesn't deserve.
Right.
Huh.
Amen. Amen.
And watch who we discount.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell you this. If there are those in your life that discount you, take that as a badge of honor, dude.
Yep.
Pin that thing on the front of your vest and carry on.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? I'd rather be, look, I'd be happy to make it in Hebrews 11. But if I had to pick what half I want to be in, it's already got a David. It's already got Moses' family. I'd rather just be in that last half that other people are going to look at and say, well, that dude's off, man.
Right.
You know, I don't even know if he's in. It's all right. Just keep thinking what you want.
Amen.
Meanwhile, God sees us.
Yes.
And he doesn't discount us. So the fear of God. Here's what the fear of God is, too. Now, I've been stuck on this for a while. God has stuck this in my spirit. Put it on a loop. And when something's on a loop with me, especially something that doesn't apply to me, then I know God has given it to me to grab up off and on continually when I go to other churches and when I teach or preach at home. And that is, here's what how you can tell when we don't have enough of the fear of God. If we have a bad habit, or if we have a character trait that is bad, and we aren't doing whatever needs to be done to get rid of that habit or change that bad character trait. Mm-hmm. Now, when we're brand new converts, and there's something that's really hard for us, right? I mean, it's hard, it's an addiction, or it's a habit of talking a certain way that we've had our whole lives, and it's just hard, and we can't do it on our own. When we're brand new in God, well, okay, that's fine. But put that thing off a little bit and take care of the things we can take care of. But there comes a time in our walk with God, if I'm 2 years in, or 5 years in, or 10 years in, and that hard thing is still in my life, that ain't because God don't want it out of my life. It's because I haven't got down to business and just said, God, this thing is hard for me. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I got to focus on this and get rid of this thing. That's tough. I don't say that like it's simple or easy, man.
Right.
If I was in the kingdom and had the Holy Ghost for 2 years, and I had an addiction, now this is being silly, but I'm going to tell you the extent that the fear of God would drive us to get rid of it. I would steal a candy bar from the 7-Eleven and get locked up for 3 days in detox. Obviously, I would not steal and go to jail. What I'm trying to tell you is if there's something that has that big of a hold on us after we've been serving God for a little while, we better not leave that thing down the road talking about that's too hard and God knows it's hard and it's got a hold on me and I can't do nothing about it. So what? The cross was hard.
Right.
The whip was hard.
Yeah, right.
The spit was hard.
Come on now.
Do I really think I can stand in front of God when my life is over and because I got everything else taken care of, have this one nasty thing in my life and say, God, you know that was too hard for me? Well, good luck with that. Fear God. It's good for me. For me. From time to time, when I find myself being too casual in my walk with God, that's when I know that I have lost a healthy amount of the fear of God personally.
Yeah.
I remember when I first got in church, I was eating over at my dad's house one day and a pizza came. And you know, I was brand new in church, so I mean, every prayer over meal was a serious deal. You close your eyes and you didn't look or nothing, you know. And I mean, that's just the way it was when you're brand new in God, because now you know God's real, now you know He's listening to you, so it's like, holy cow, God's here listening to me talk, right? Then the pizza came, and Dad, we opened the box of pizza, and I'm getting ready to shut my eyes, and you know, because we're praying to God, and Dad just reaches over the pizza, pulls it apart, and says, Lord, thank you for this pizza, and Jesus, oh. And I'm sitting at the table, and I'm so brand new, and the fear of God is so fresh in my life that I'm like, I was stunned. I was like, is that how you do it? Like, is my dad backslid?
Yeah.
Now, the reason that I was seeing through that lens is because the fear of God was fresh and new and real to me.
Right.
So when I find myself in my prayers or in my worship or in my study where it's just gotten familiar and regular to me, then I know I need a fresh dose of the fear of God.
Right.
Well, this heathen pagan dude who had no business doing any of this is a consistent man and he fears God and he didn't let mama and the children out of it.
Right.
Whether they wanted in it or not, because he feared God with all his house. And what that meant was, Cornelius had some rules in his house that he made his house follow, whether they understood it or not, whether they agreed with it or not, whether they liked it or not. Cornelius must have been reading about this God that says a man is the head of his house. Because he made his house follow whatever rules he thought needed to be in place for them to be pleasing in the eyes of God. And I'm just telling you, I don't care. Even if your wife is serving God 100% too, there's going to be times when you're the man of the house, there's going to be some things that you feel that she's not going to feel. You know why? It ain't because she's backslid. It ain't because she's lukewarm in the spirit. It's because sometimes God just wants to check your manhood.
I know that's popular.
Right.
There are some times where God will give the man in the house some things. Look, you know what he does when he checks a man's manhood? He also checks the wife's submission to her own husband. Because when something's bothering you as a man, and it's like, okay, man, I really feel like God's bothering me about this, and we got to stop doing this, or we got to start doing this, and then you go to your wife about it, and your wife, sometimes God, he really has a sense of humor, and he knows how to test you, because sometimes he'll give you some stuff that your wife is elbow deep in.
Right.
You'd be like, honey, now look, I know this ain't a sin, and I ain't trying to say all that, but I really feel off about this. But let's join together and take some time off of that thing. And boy, I tell you what, there's some times, because we're all human, you can see the blood start in your wife's collarbone, and you just go, mm-hmm. And it ain't because she don't love God, it ain't because she don't love you, but it's because God doesn't want her to understand it right now, because he wants to see what her submission is like. Because when you understand something and do it, that ain't submission. That's common. That's just good sense.
Yeah. Right. Right.
We don't exhibit any submission when we do something we agree with.
Oh.
Oh, that one hurts. We exhibit and demonstrate submission when we do something we ain't got a clue how that makes sense.
Right.
That's when we demonstrate submission. And that's when a husband demonstrates that he takes his responsibility for his wife and his children's souls seriously.
Yeah.
So this pagan heathen man did, and then look at this. He was a devout man who feared God with all his house, and he gave the exact offering he was supposed to and gave his tithe and prayed to God most of the time. This dude gave much alms.
Much. Yep.
Yeah.
See, there's a God formula for finances. And here it is. And you can study this in. It's called the... God gave me this before I ever stumbled onto the formula. But there is a formula called a shekel and a half shekel. And what that is 10% is tithe, 5% is offering, and 5% is savings. And it's a God formula. If we tithe 10% and we offer 5% and we save 5%, it's a God formula that God will sprinkle the living water on that and we'll have more finances than we need. But even so, when we have a formula and we have a budget with this number and that number and that number, this man went above that and just gave much.
Right.
And he prayed to God always. Always. And he saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day. The ninth hour of the day was an hour when the Jews went to the temple to pray.
Right.
This dude said, you might not let me in your church building, but I'm going to do this anyway because I know your God's real. I'll do it in my house.
Right.
I'll make my house a temple. He saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day. And later on in the same chapter, in verse 30, Cornelius tells Peter that he was fasting while he was praying. This heathen pagan man that wasn't supposed to be in the church is having prayer at the same time the chosen people are, and he's fasting too. This is a guy that started looking through his book and said, hey, what's in this thing that I can have?
Right.
And when he found it, he says, I'm in, I'll do it. Man, fasting brings that kind of power and favor. I'm in, I want it. So he saw a vision, an angel of God came into him and said, Cornelius. And when he looked on the angel, he was afraid. Smart man. He was afraid. And he said, what is it, Lord? And the angel said, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. Unbaptized, unholy ghost filled, not allowed in the church. All the rules say he can't be there. And yet, because this man said, I'm going to do it anyway because I know this God is real. I'm going to apply these principles in the book because I know they're real. And he did it consistently. He was devout. And because he gave much alms and prayed always, there came a day where God had to overlook the fact that his own book said this guy can't come in. There come a day when God could not go around this memorial of prayer anymore. Right. He couldn't ignore it anymore because it was right there and it was getting built up day by day in the eyes of all the angels, every spiritual being there was, and God could not ignore that anymore. And because of that, God changed his own rules. This is the Gentile Pentecost that starts right here with a man nobody wanted in.
Right.
All because, look, does it say that his prayers came up for an alm? Does it say that came up for a memorial? Or does it say his prayers and his alms came up for a memorial?
Mm-hmm.
See? Wasn't just his prayers.
Right.
God paid attention to his giving too.
Right.
This man was working everything he knew to work, dude. He was praying. He was fasting. He was giving. And he said, you know what? This level of giving might work for them over there, and it might work for them over there, but I need an edge. I need some way in the back door somehow. And you know what? I'm going to give a little more because I'm not up front like they are. I'm going to pray a little more because I'm not up front like they are. I wasn't first pick, so I'm going to do everything I can do the best I can do it. And there come a day where it became a memorial before God. Before God. That word memorial, it means something created to remind of a person or an event.
Right?
So that means when he was praying, he was creating something, reminding God, I might not be in yet, but I want in.
Right?
I might not be your chosen people, but I still want in. I might not be the first pick. I just want to be picked.
Right.
You may not want to hear me first, but I want to be heard. And he built something that reminded God that he was there. God couldn't forget he was there. When God's focus, think about this historically, when God's focus was on the church in Jerusalem being ripped to shreds, being torn apart. Here's this guy over here in his house saying, hey, hey, hey. And God's got his focus on his bride. And he's got the apostles going out and all this stuff's going on. But every time his focus is over here, he hears somebody, hey, hey. And every time he looked back, that memorial just kept getting bigger and bigger. And up until this point, God had done nothing for Cornelius.
Right.
And yet Cornelius prayed every day. Build that memorial a little bit higher. Because the God I read about in the Bible ain't the kind of God going to ignore that thing. One of these days, he's going to look at that. And when he does, he's going to do what's right. So you know what? If he don't do nothing for me today, that means when this day's over, my memorial gets to be a little bit higher. Right. And that means when God does move for me, he's going to move a little bit more. Because that memorial's going to be even bigger because I'm working on the building.
Amen. That's right.
Huh. He prayed. The angel said, your prayers and your giving are come up. Bible don't phrase nothing accidentally, unintentionally. Come up. Right. Hey, Cornelius, we saw you the first day you started on that thing way down there.
Right.
We saw when that memorial wasn't nothing but one day old. You prayed the first day and you gave the first day.
Amen.
And then we watched the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and that thing just kept getting closer and closer until finally it came up here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
And some of y'all right now, you have in your life the evidence that your prayers came up.
Yeah.
You have the evidence in your life right now.
Right now.
That some of the things you started praying on way back then, when didn't nobody expect nothing to happen, didn't nobody really want nothing to happen, and you didn't even know if anything really would happen, but some of the things you started building that memorial for up before God, Lord, remember my husband. Remember my children, God. Remember me and my house, God. And it started out, it wasn't nothing but one level high. And then another level, another level, another level. And then one day it came up where it was supposed to go, and God could not ignore it anymore. And here you sit.
Right. Yep. Here we are.
Don't ask me what you did. Go ahead, say what I did. You have built a memorial, Irish. And every time you go back into that class with Kitty, that memorial gets higher. Every time you send a message to her and say, well, I got the snacks this week, that memorial gets higher. I'm serious. That's alms. That's giving. Every time you do that, girl, every time you got that jar home and you make a sale on your business and that 10% goes into that tie jar and you bring it in and Moana drops it in that jug, that memorial gets higher and God is watching. And that memorial is going to come up before God one day. What does that mean? I don't know. Does that mean your girl's going to get the Holy Ghost? Does that mean your mom and dad are going to soften their heart toward God? Does that mean God's going to restore your family to you? I don't know. But it could mean every bit of that and a whole lot more, Irish. You are building a memorial.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Every time you two get on those guitars, every time I send you a message the day before church and say, can you have 2 or 30 songs ready for tomorrow?
Right. Amen.
And you come in here and you worship God, and don't think we ain't noticed you forget about us either. Yeah. When you start worshiping, there comes a point where you forget we're even here. And you know what? We're okay with that. Because every time you do that, you are building a memorial.
Amen.
And it's coming up before God.
Amen.
Nathan?
Jesus.
Just the way you come in.
Yeah.
Arliss, can I? You want me to build the fire up? Arliss, you want me to grab it? Arliss, you need me to do it? You want me to help out?
Yeah.
Every time you make yourself available to help with things that other people might think don't count for much, you're building a memorial, dude.
Yeah.
And that thing's coming up before God. And there's going to be a day in your life where the same thing that he did for Peter, memorial came up before God, and then the angel tells Peter in verse 5, send men to Joppa and call for Simon. Call a preacher.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't ignore you anymore, but you're still going to need a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, this is a pretty good train of thought right here. God could send an angel, but he still needed a preacher. God could talk to Cornelius, but Cornelius still needed a preacher.
Right.
And he says, Cornelius, you've been done pretty good on your own. You got my attention, but you need to call for the preacher. In verse 6, when he gets here, he's going to tell you what you ought to do.
Right?
Amen.
Thank God for people that ask you what they ought to do and then you tell them when they do it. What a breath of fresh air. I've been through seasons in my life where I didn't even answer people to ask me that anymore. I just got tired of it. I got tired of people asking me because they'd ask me and they'd never do what the heck I told them. And then their house would burn up and blow up and then he'd come back, hey, what happened? You're what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll tell you what ought to do. Verse 24. Peter's coming. And the day after, they entered in Caesarea and Cornelius waited for them. And look what he did after he sent men for the preacher. He said, I've been waiting a long time for God to move in my family. God told me to call the preacher. It ain't going to just be me when he gets here. Cornelius waited and called together his kinsmen. That means every... See, I know the Bible's Southern, man. He got kinfolk.
Right?
Right.
He called his kinfolk and his near friends. Cornelius told him, man, you got to come. There's a man of God come. We're going to have a word from God, and we need it.
Yep. Going to be the fire.
Verse 43, Peter gets done preaching. He's preaching to Cornelius, his kinfolk, all his friends. And he said, to Jesus gives all the prophets witness that through his name, through his what? Through his name, whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. You got to struggle real hard to say that means all you got to do is believe in Jesus and your sins are gone. That's not what it means. Through his name, whoever believes in him.
Right?
That means you're going to believe what he said and do what he said to do. You're going to be baptized in his name like he told everybody to for remission of their sins. And that's how you get them. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. They all got baptized. They all got baptized the Holy Ghost first. And then Peter baptized them all. Peter gets back to headquarters and he's in trouble. They all said, you went to a Gentile's house. He ain't supposed to be up in that house. And Jesus said, Peter said, hold up. God told me while he cleans, don't be calling unclean.
Right, right, exactly. Amen.
When you see a speck in your brother's eye, it might not be a clean speck. That don't mean he's unclean in God's eye. That might be the last speck he's working on.
Right.
So this memorial... There is not one of you guys here right now that could be doing a greater thing than what you're doing for the people to come after you than what you're doing right now. You are building a memorial right now that God will never forget, even after you are gone. Wells family. Started out with one woman searching for all of God. Knowing the kingdom was not in word only, but power.
Right.
And when she was presented with that power, she applied it. And now today, her husband is the head of the home, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, covered by the blood, tongue-talking, praying man.
Thank you.
And X, anything you want to add after that, delivered by the power of God.
Yes,
the Son, filled with the Holy Ghost, faithful to the house of God,
hallelujah,
willing to do anything that God or the preacher wants him to do when he's here. A memorial. They left their entire biological family 6 hours away in Kentucky. Jimmy left an elderly mother and a sister. Stacy left a mother that was alive at the time. All her sisters, nephews, nieces, left them all behind. This is Book of Acts stuff.
Amen.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
The Book of Acts is not over. People are still walking it out today.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this family did this because they're working on a memorial. And they're now pillars in this church. Damon has led his wife and his children to probably almost every single Jesus name corporate gathering place in the Tri-Cities area, looking for a place that wasn't truth in word only, but in power and in love as well. Grew discouraged with every bit of it, knowing that he hadn't found it yet, thinking that he was going to have to settle for whatever it was he was a part of at the time. And then God put him on his deathbed with no idea that he was there, so God could raise him up from his deathbed and move him into a place that was filled with people who had already paid that same price themselves and left everything and everybody behind to find the God of the book and the church of the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
And he's building with his wife a memorial. The Russell family, generations Baptist, helped build Baptist churches all over these Tri-Cities. All that time, Lori couldn't be happy anywhere. Good people, good preaching, family there, couldn't be happy. After a while, what, is it just me? Why am I the only one that's not happy? Maybe there's something wrong with me, and it wouldn't leave her alone. So she picked up the phone one day and called a man she hadn't seen in over a decade and said, "Hey, I know there's something you can tell me."
Yeah.
And when she was told, she went and bought her own baptism.
Yeah.
And that's the baptismal we use today. And she started praying for a husband, much like you did at first. Travis was a prayer request, wasn't he, Jimmy?
Yeah, that's right.
We didn't know what the man looked like and prayed for him for months until one day he come walking in the back door.
Yeah.
And Travis and his wife are also now pillars of the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Building a memorial.
That's right.
Lori's daughter, she's not here today, hasn't been here in a while. But by God, every one of us was at her baptismal service.
That's right.
She has the blood of Jesus Christ on her soul.
Yes.
And I got a picture showing Lori's grandbaby, Knox, standing there looking up at his mama dripping with fresh baptismal water with my hand right on her forehead. That is a memorial before God.
Amen.
And God will move.
Yes, he will.
I'm here today because of a mother who prayed prayers as a girl when she was Jesus' name baptized and Holy Ghost filled, 12 years old, would go up and down the aisles in a church service and lay hands on sick people, and my grandmother told me that they'd be healed. So anything that moves through me is a heritage that has been prayed into my family line. I have no idea how many generations back.
Yeah.
But my mother didn't start it. She was just one generation of a memorial before God that started somewhere way back down the road.
Amen.
And God visited our generation.
Right, yeah.
When we grew up not knowing nothing about this thing.
That's right.
And the reason he did is because Deuteronomy 7 says, "The Lord your God
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He is the faithful God.
Yes, he is.
Who keeps covenant for 1,000 generations.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Yes, sir.
My mother, I've been saying my mother for a long time. You got to just let me get the hang of saying our mother, okay? It's going to take a minute. She was Damon's mother, too, okay? Let me just clear that up. Our mother made a decision to live her life raising her children backslid. Yeah. But when she was living for God, Jimmy, before I was ever born, she had built a memorial before God.
Yes,
right. A faithful God who keeps a covenant for 1,000 generations. Yeah. So even though my mother turned her back on the covenant she made for herself with God, she had prayed a covenant into the life of generations that she had not conceived yet. Whether she knew or not by the Bible, that faithful God, no matter what she did with her covenant with God, would step into the next generation because of a covenant he made with the last one, and give the next generation the same opportunity.
That's right. Yeah.
That's exactly what he did.
Oh.
So I'm telling you today, the covenant you make will affect 1,000 generations after you. Your children, right. Your children's children, amen. Their children, their children's children. Long after you are but dust in the ground, your faithful God will visit every generation in your family line after you, and they will have an opportunity to be baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm not the least bit scared of your vanity to tell you this because of the memorial you are building.
Right.
It's because you're devout. It's because you give much alms.
Amen.
It's because you fear God. It's because you lead your house.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
When Bill Gates and Elon Musk die, their billions of dollars can be wasted by their family in 10 minutes. And the second generation after them will never know the benefits of what they left them. Every generation after you will know the benefits of what you leave them.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Yes. Amen.
I don't know who started the memorial in my family. I just thank God they did.
That's exactly right.
So there's going to be a day when there's a generation of your family line that no longer remember the name Jimmy Wells.
Right.
But they're going to know the name Jesus.
That's right. That's the woman they need to know. That's it.
There's going to be a generation after you that may not remember your deathbed story. But they're going to know the one that did your deathbed story. And it's because of the memorial that you're building right now.
That's it, exactly.
Lord, I thank you.
Thank you, dear.
I thank you for the privilege of being in the company of men and women who are devout. Thank you that I can read a Bible verse in the book of Acts, and it makes me think of men and women in my very own church family. Thank you. What a privilege. I thank you for men and women that are devout, that are consistent. Men and women that fear you. Men and women that fear you with their houses. Men and women that pray, that fast, that give much alms. Men and women that are building a memorial before you that will come up to you. Lord, our memorials have come up to you for the things in our generation already. Because we have seen you visit our children.
Yes.
Some of us have seen you visit our grandchildren. So that memorial has already had an effect in the generation that we're in. But Lord, I thank you, God, that no matter how long this world may last, a generation at the minimum is 30 years. I thank you that you will keep this covenant we have made for you for 30,000 years. There will never be a generation of our family line that will live and die without meeting you. There will never be a generation of our family line that will never be exposed to the truth in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. There will never be a generation of our family lines that will not be exposed to the truth of the power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There will never be a generation in our family lines that will not be exposed to a church, a kingdom that is not merely in word only, but is a kingdom in power. I thank you that you keep covenant with us beyond our time in this world. Thank you. Thank you for the memorial being built by the Russell family. Thank you for the memorial being built by the Wells family. Thank you for the memorial being built by Don Manns. Thank you for the memorial being built by the Damon Rapier family. Thank you for the memorial that my wife and I are building, yes. Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you for the privilege of knowing who you are today. We worship you. Lord, I plead the blood over your people. I ask you, Father, to keep your hand upon us all week long until we come together again. Keep your people safe and sound. Let their light shine bright in dark places, Father. Visit Rue today and heal her body. Visit Lori today and heal her body. Visit Abby today, Father, and move in her favor. Visit Travis today, God, and encourage him, Lord. I ask you to bless your people today. I ask you to do it for your glory. And everybody said in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.